are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. And joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rutino. You can follow him on Twitter simply at Vinny Rutino. Also, make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, I'd like to thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. On today's episode, we're going to talk about contract extension updates or options, players that the Brewers could look to extend this season, and or on the opposite side of that, players they could potentially trade if maybe they're not going to extend them and don't want to keep them around. So we'll be talking about those players on this episode and what we think the Brewers will do with them. Before we dive into all that though, Vinny, I wanted to get your thoughts on the World Series matchup. You got the Braves and the Astros. Should be a really fun World Series. You got any sort of lean or thoughts on that series, Vinny?
Yeah, I hate the Astros.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I'm good with that.
I can't stand that team. I can't stand the organization. So I was a scout for the Rangers, obviously, for 4 years, and naturally, the rival was the Houston Astros, and the whole kind of rivalry was who was going to win a World Series first between the two franchises. And obviously, I just totally brain did the Astros have won one, right?
Yeah, 2017, the year they cheated.
That's right, the garbage cans.
Yeah.
My goodness. Wow. Okay. It's been a long weekend. But, yeah, so I hate the Astros. They obviously won. They cheated to do it. And, yeah, there's that. So I'm rooting hard for the Braves, and obviously the Braves beat the Brewers and to get here, obviously. And I do think the Brewers would be in the World Series if it wasn't for the Braves, if it wasn't for Game 4. But, yeah, but I am rooting for the Braves. I love Brian Snicker. I really, really think he's a great manager. He took his opportunity and ran with it. And then obviously the team, I like watching this club. They're an entertaining team. I do think they have the personnel to win the World Series. It's going to be a coin flip though, for me. I mean, evenly matched, really good teams on both sides, just like all these series. And that's what I said at the start of the playoffs. All these series are going to be really hard fought. And it's just a matter of who's going to catch some breaks along the way. But yeah, I'm rooting for the Braves. I think they can pull it off.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate for the Brewers. They had to face the Braves in the first round. I mean, they would have had to face them eventually, but the Braves clearly, as we see now, were, you know, one of the hottest teams in baseball coming in, and the Brewers just happened to catch them at the wrong time there. But I think you're right. You know, if the Brewers do get past them, I think they're in this exact same situation, especially with some of the injuries the Dodgers were dealing with. Certainly weren't at full strength in that series. But, yeah, I think the Brewers are fans probably don't want to hear it, but they'd probably go into the World Series if they get past the Braves. I think they would have a really good chance here. So I'm interested to hear what all the listeners are thinking for this World Series. Who are you cheering for in this one, the Braves or the Astros? Obviously, nobody likes the Astros after what happened and them cheating back in 2017, but also the Braves are the team that eliminated the Brewers. So there might be some hate there as well. But let me know on Twitter. Hit us up at Locked On Brewers. You can hit me up at shortstopball. Let me know who you like in the World Series. As Benny said, should be a very fun and entertaining matchup. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Benny. So I wanted to get into possible contract extension candidates in this episode, as we start to gear up for the postseason and look at some players that will be hitting free agency pretty soon and who the Brewers could look to maybe extend beyond their final arbitration years and maybe buy out a couple of free agent years as teams like to tend to do in the offseason. I think the number one candidate for this right now is Josh Hader. And, you know, already you've seen articles coming out. Is this the offseason that the Brewers trade Josh Hader? And we can certainly talk about that as well. But, you know, we can also talk about it on the other side too, Vinny. Is now the time to go ahead and lock Josh Hader up? And you can take that guesswork of whether or not he's going to be traded out of the mix. I mean, he's got two more years left in arbitration. So, I mean, that's still a lot of control there. You don't have to do anything right now. Obviously, you know, relievers can lose it pretty quickly. Josh Hader's 27. I mean, even if they just kept him through his arbitration years, he'd be 29. I know he's really good. Again, maybe his best year ever in 2021. So no signs of slowing down, but yeah, I mean, age gets to us all at some point. So you got to wonder, you know, how many more great years does he really have? And are the Brewers or whoever would have to sign him, you know, after the 2023 season going to pay for what he's done or what he's going to do? Because I honestly don't know if he'll ever be as good as what he has been, at least, you know, not after age 31 season. So I think it's a very interesting thought, Vinny, if the Brewers, you know, I think they have to do, they don't have to do anything, but I mean, he's going to make close to $10 million this year or for 2022 in arbitration. And that could go as up as, you know, as high as $13 to $15 million in his final year of arbitration. You know, that's a lot of money for a relief pitcher for a team like the Brewers that doesn't always have the highest payroll. So I think there's going to be a lot of interesting conversations about Josh Hader this offseason and what way the Brewers want to go with him. But Vinny, just first of all, what's your thoughts on them possibly extending Josh Hader?
I don't think they should extend Josh Hader. He's 27, so he'll be 28 next year and then 29 in his final year of arbitration. And then, so like, what are you going to, you have to overpay. You have to pay for this guy, right? For his, probably, you know, I don't even know what an extension for him would look like. He's the best reliever in the game. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of some comps for him. I can't think of any. I mean, the guy's absolutely dominant at this age. So I wouldn't extend him. He's the best reliever in the game, and I would not trade him. So I think you just kind of ride it out, finish the $25 million that you talk about that they're going to owe him for these next 2 years, hopefully win a World Series and then let him go off in free agency. And then you get a draft pick in return. Right. So that's kind of the game I would play there with Josh Hader. I've seen relievers burn teams too often, and that's kind of where I would be at. I just would kind of follow history there. Even if I think there's just too much risk in extending relievers. That's all. I love Josh Hader. Don't get me wrong. I would love to keep him for the next 5-6 years, whatever. There's just too much risk with relievers. They're just so volatile. They can lose it. They can, as soon as you lose velocity a little bit, they're kind of done. Especially with a guy like Hader who is kind of does not have great command. He's just kind of like throwing it to areas. So he's not your traditional like command guy. Obviously he's got the deception and he's got the stuff. That's what makes him so great. So there's just some risk involved with extending Josh Hader, and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely wouldn't extend him just because you don't typically see people extend relievers anyway, because like I said, they are so year to year. I mean, you extend him now, and like you said, his velo ticks down in that final year of what would have been his last year of arbitration, and then you're stuck with a bad contract, paying a lot of money to a reliever, and you never want to get stuck in that situation. But I think it does become tricky if you just kind of ride it out, because you also have one of the best relievers in all of baseball, a good trade chip that you could use to go fix another part of your team. But I know your feelings on this already, Vinny. You can't win a World Series without Josh Hader. And I think the Brewers are in a window to win a World Series for the next 2 to 3 years. So probably the best path is to just ride it out with him. If you get in that 2023 season and for some reason, you know, things aren't going great, then maybe you make a deadline deal then and trade him away. But I just don't see, I don't really see the point in trading him right now. It's still the same for me as it was when the conversation came up last offseason, Benny. If the Brewers are going to trade him, it better be for a big haul. And you better be getting multiple pieces back to your team if they're going to trade him, Benny.
Yeah, I mean, so you look at what, like, you bring up a really good point. I mean, you kind of take it year by year here. And if they're out of contention for some reason, which I can't foresee happening, but let's just say they are in 2 years, and then all of a sudden you get to the trade deadline and they're out of it, and then you can trade Josh Hader. Now, what you could do is look at, like, the Craig Kimbrel trade, right? So they got the White Sox had to trade Nick Madrigal, who is an everyday second baseman with 6 years of control left, five or six, whatever it is. And that would be kind of like, you would need to get like an everyday piece back in order to, for Josh Hader. But so I do think that would be an avenue that you could consider if they were out of it, just like the Cubs were. And that's why they traded Craig Kimbrel over to the White Sox. Now, like you said, there's still 2 years left to control of Josh Hader. So how many pieces are you going to need? How many everyday player pieces are you going to need with 6 years of control? You're going to need a lot of them, like you said. So I guess there's a deal that can be made for every player. There just is. I mean, Alex Rodriguez was traded for Robinson Cano when Robinson Cano was an A-ball. So, I mean, there's, like I said, there's a package. It wasn't straight up. There was a huge package that went, that exchanged hands between the Yankees and the Rangers there for that deal. But it would have to be a deal that would set the team up for multiple years of success down the road. And if the team didn't think they were in a position to win the World Series.
Yeah.
That's my take on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. It'd have to be, for somebody that can, you're never going to replace Josh Hader, but somebody that you can, that is a proven, you know, back of the bullpen type guy to at least try to alleviate some of what you lose in Hader. And then somebody else who's going to have a big impact on the lineup. And those two pieces would have to be under control for 3+ years and be, you know, pre-arb eligible players, because you're also trying to save money with that deal. It'd have to be that type of package in order for me to consider giving up Josh Hader. If this team wasn't in a window to win the World Series, then yes. I mean, you trade him, you get a bunch of really good prospects back for him, and that's a no-brainer. But I think this team could win a World Series in the next 2 years. I really do. Again, we just talked about it. If they get past the Braves in that NLDS, then I think they're going to the World Series. So I definitely think this team is capable of going to the World Series. And as you said many times, Vinny, if you're going to do that and you're going to win the World Series, then you have to do it with Josh Hader. So I think we're both in agreement there. No extension and no trade for Josh Hader this offseason. The other pitcher I wanted to bring up, I think is probably a little bit of a stretch at this point as far as an extension candidate goes. He still has 3 years of arbitration left, and that's Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff, you know, as you all know, is one of my favorite pitchers in all of baseball. I think he's, on the cusp of doing some really big things, or he already has done some really big things, but starting to get more nationally known, kind of hiding in the spotlight a little bit from what Burns did this year. But I mean, a 2.56 ERA last year, a 3.05 ERA, you know, a 3.62 the year before that, a 3.61 the year before that. I mean, this guy has just quietly, you know, become one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. That being said, you know, he's 28, which, you know, is not old. He's entering into his prime. He has 3 years of arbitration left. I mean, he's somebody the Brewers could, you know, at least buy out the rest of his arbitration years, maybe extend him another year or two through free agency. But again, I think that's still a little too early for him. I mean, you buy out his 3 arbitration years and you're talking about, you know, already his 3 arbitration years, he's going to be 31 at the end of this deal. How far could you really extend him? So, Vinny, I think Woodruff is going to end up being kind of in the same boat as Josh Hader. doesn't really make sense to extend him just because of the age. And I think you probably just ride it out with that. And if you get into the final year of his rookie deal, then maybe you think about trading him at that point.
I'm going to push back a little bit on this one. I think I would just a little bit. I think I would consider extending Brandon Woodruff if he would be willing to take, like, you know, if he really loves it in Milwaukee, you know, just not like a totally team friendly deal. Obviously you wouldn't, they would not agree to that, but I'm just saying I would kind of find a middle ground to see if you can buy him into his, you know, past his physical prime, which is, they say it's like the age curve kind of is not favorable to players after like age 32, I think 32 or 33, especially pitchers. Velo starts to dip. I do think he's a guy that's going to be affected by a velocity dip, right? Because we talked about this a lot. He does not have great spin rate on his fastball. He does not have great deception on it. What he does is he executes his pitches at 95 to 99 miles an hour. And that's really hard to hit. And then he's got four pitches for strikes. So he does it kind of an old school guy, but with new school type of velocity, right? That he's doing it with, and that kind of velo program and shorter arm action kind of like maxed out what he can do with his stuff. So I do think the age curve is not going to be favorable to Brandon Woodruff in the long run. However, what I would, and I think they're aware of that, right? Their side, the player's side. So I do think I would maybe try and buy him out of those arb years and then kind of get into his, you know, 33, 34 and kind of live with, take the risk to see where he would be at physically with his stuff into that 33, 34 range. Because at that point, then he could be a more desirable trade chip at the end of the day as well, right? So now you have both sides of it. So like if the team does fall out of contention or something like that, or if they have up and coming guys that they want to kind of make a change, you do have Brandon Woodruff as like a team-ish, friendly-ish contract at that point. And then that those guys become extremely attractive on the trade market. You look at Quintana for the White Sox. The Cubs gave up everything for him, right? Eloy Jimenez. So my point is, like, you want to try and consider all these things. It gets really, really complicated at that point. But I do think Brandon Woodruff, I think that I mean, you love to be a fly on the wall in these conversations with between the agents and the GMs, right? Because you would love to know how much they are considering to take or how much the Brewers are considering to offer. So maybe it's a situation where it's like, okay, we need $30 million a year. Okay, well, I'm not paying that, right? If I'm the Brewers for Brandon Woodruff. But maybe it's a situation where they would take a more, you know, kind of a, you know, a friendlier, team-friendlier deal. We'll see. I mean, again, not being a fly on the wall, never know, but I would consider that. And I would go down that road if I were the Brewers.
Yeah, I like the idea of buying out the rest of his arbitration years. Like I said, I wouldn't extend him beyond that just because of the age. But main reason I wanted to bring up Woodruff on here, and you kind of touched on it already, Vinny, is I think he's a potential trade candidate. And I say that knowing, again, that he's one of my favorite pitchers, but the Brewers have a lot of starting pitching depth. Their payroll's already kind of up there. Woodruff's going to get a big bump in arbitration this year because he's going to finish, you know, probably top five in the NL Cy Young. He's going to start becoming pretty expensive. And the Brewers may have to trade from a position of depth. You know, Brandon Woodruff could get them a really big haul, maybe even more than what Josh Hader would get. It kind of helps you in payroll situation. And I don't know if I can say this, but I think you would still be okay with the starting pitching. You know, having said all that, I'm saying all this because I don't know exactly where the front office is going to land payroll wise. I mean, just projecting next year, they're already at like 117 million when you consider all their arbitration people. You know, that's a pretty big bump from where they were last year. I don't know. I just don't know. Like Vinny said, I wish I could be a fly in the wall in those conversations to know exactly where the front office is what they're willing to spend, how far they're willing to go. I mean, if they're willing to spend, then you don't trade any of these guys. You don't even think about it because, you know, Brandon Woodruff's the guy that's going to lead you there. But if that were the case and they, you know, had to make a move somewhere to try to save some money, I think Woodruff could be a candidate for that.
It's a good point. Yeah, it is a good point. I mean, you'd hate to lose a guy that kind of has been such a horse for you. It would not be popular, but it is a good point. I mean, you have to consider every option, especially understanding that the Brewers are a smaller market team. $117 million payroll is something that they haven't been to, you know, that range. And I do think that they're probably considering all options. It'd be interesting to hear what kind of trade value he does bring, because like I said, I mean, he does not show up extremely well in terms of like the swing and miss on the slider. I mean, he almost abandoned the slider this year completely. And so he almost went exclusively to the curveball. And so you just don't see that from frontline guys. Why is he a frontline guy then? And my answer is because what I just said, he has a rare ability to execute his pitches at 95, 99 miles an hour. And whereas most guys just are ripping off that kind of velo and then spinning nasty breaking balls off of that velo as well. So he doesn't necessarily have that. So he is a little bit of an anomaly. And I don't know if teams would kind of go out on an edge or out on a limb, I should say, to really kind of empty the holster with prospects to pay for Brandon Woodruff. He's a little bit of an anomaly with how well he's produced in the last couple of years, especially this year. Like you said, finishing probably in the top five of the Cy Young. So I think teams might be a little nervous, a little trepidatious about emptying the holster with prospects with Woodruff. So, you know, that's okay for us, right? I mean, the Brewers might be stuck, quote unquote, stuck with Brandon Woodruff.
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't want them to trade Woodruff. Like I said, I love him. I want him to lead the Brewers to a World Series one day. But again, just don't know exactly what direction the front office is going to go this offseason. Hopefully we'll get some more clarity on that. Next, I want to talk about a couple of hitters that could potentially be extended this offseason. Show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and cream, which remain some of my favorites, but they have a bunch of different flavors from coconut, almond toffee, mint, peanut butter, fudge, dark chocolate, raspberry. They got the cookie dough chunk that they just sent me, which is really good. There's just a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste. Something that tastes good and is not hard as a rock. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. They're very tasty and they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So whether you like to take them before a workout, after a workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, Vinny. So the first offensive candidate I want to talk about is one of our favorite topics on the podcast. Lately, we talked about him in our mailbag episode on Friday, and that's Avisel Garcia. We're going to know about this one pretty shortly because he has a mutual option that he has 5 days after the World Series to decide on if he wants to pick up or elect to become a free agent. We talked about it before. I think he's going to become a free agent. I think this is an opportunity for him to get a good solid 2 to 3 year deal and kind of maximize off the season that he just had. But there is also the chance the Brewers could work something in that time as well to try to extend him and try to sign him maybe for the next 2 or 3 years, which I would not hate because I like Avisel Garcia. It's just, what kind of deal could you get him at? You know, could you get him at $7 or $8 million a year for the next 3 years? If so, I think that's a pretty solid deal, and I would certainly be okay with that. Or is he going to want, you know, $12 million over the next 2 or 3 years? In which case, I probably would not want to do that. So it's all going to be, you know, determined by the number of dollars here, obviously, as most things are. But You know, Vinny, I know it's been well documented, you know, your thoughts versus my thoughts on Ebisel Garcia. Not that you or hate the guy, not that I just think he's the best player in the world, but I think they're, we've talked about it already. I think if you're going to make an offensive upgrade this year, and it's hard to say because Ebisel was one of their better offensive performers all year, but I think you could do it in whatever you replace Ebisel Garcia with. So having said all that, would you, if the Brewers consider trying to work out some sort of extension for him?
I wouldn't extend this guy. I mean, it again depends on the dollar amount, right? I mean, he made $12 million this year. So, I mean, he's going to make $15 to $20 million next year in free agency. I mean, I'm just looking at some of these names. I mean, he's going to be one of the top names as a free agent. I mean, Adam Duvall made $7 million. He's going to make more next year, which I would consider. I would consider an Adam Duvall on a 2-year deal. He's going to be, he's already 33. So I would say, my point is I'd save the dollars and maybe kind of take a shot at Adam Duvall. I really like him. I thought he was one of the better outfielders in the league, in the whole league. I mean, obviously he had a monster year, but I mean, he's going to be 33. He almost reminds me like a right-handed Brett Gardner, right? I mean, the guy just doesn't stop. He just continues to produce. He's getting better. But going back to Ebisel Garcia, though, the guy is going to make a boatload of money. He's going to be 31 next year. I personally would spend the dollars elsewhere. I mean, you have Tyrone Taylor to kind of take over. And I'll just say that, right? I mean, you have other guys waiting in the wings. Tyrone Taylor deserves everyday opportunity. You have Lo Kane, you have Christian Yelich. I know Ebisel Garcia had a great year, really produced. I just think that there's little things missing from this guy, some intangible stuff, some little type of things that help you win games, like that kind of put that label of a winning player on you. I just don't see it from him. Again, for the right price, I would bring the guy back because he does produce and he kind of sits there in the middle of your lineup and is a threat to leave the ballpark in every, left, right, center. And he does at times put together a quality at bat. I just didn't see a ton of consistency in terms of his quality of at bat. And then just consistency with his winning type of mindset or play on the field, you know, with the little things on the bases in the outfield, stuff like that. So I would pass personally and maybe try and spend those kinds of dollars, maybe on a guy like I said, like an Adam Duvall or maybe some of these other free agents that are out there. But that's my take on him, and that's what I'm sticking to. So yeah. Sorry if I'm disappointing you.
No, not at all. I think that's probably the right way to go. Might be a place where they can save money and also potentially get an upgrade or at least equal production. So I think that makes a lot of sense because I do think Ebisel will get, you know, a pretty solid 2 or 3 year deal for pretty good money this offseason. The last one on here I want to talk about, I think, is the most likely player to get an extension this offseason, and that is Omar Narvaez. I was surprised to see that 2022 is his last year of arbitration, and then he'll be a free agent after next season. I didn't think it was coming up that soon for him, but I also forgot about those early years with the White Sox where he played a lot of games. So Omar Narvaez, you know, played this season at age 29. So he'll be 30 years old for next season. Really big year for the Brewers. I mean, you talk about Ebisel Garcia, you know, being a solid contributor throughout the majority of the season. So was Omar Narvaez. I mean, he was there from beginning to end. I know he had a little bit of an injury and missed some time in the middle of the season, but for the most part was always there offensively, really improved a lot defensively as well. Plus they're already losing Manny Pena if they don't sign him back. But I think Omar Narvaez is a guy they could look to try to extend and keep him around for 3 or 4 more seasons, Vinny.
Yeah, you know, he really impressed me this year. I mean, I played with this guy when he really wasn't that much of a guy that really cared. Not that he didn't care about his defense, but he just wasn't there yet, right? These guys develop later on in their careers after they understand that there's more to the catching position than throwing runners out and hitting. I mean, you have to really command a staff. You have to you got half your team basically relying on you to get you through games. And that's what Omar Avaez, he showed me that this year, right? He showed me the ability to kind of lead a staff, lead the best staff in the major leagues, right? The best starting staff anyway. So he led that group, right? I mean, him and Manny Pena. So the guy really impressed me, and these guys don't seem to age, right? I mean, some of these guys that I'm looking at on these rosters, I mean, Buster Posey is going to be 35 next year. And, they don't really age. Martin Maldonado is going to another World Series at age 35. I mean, he'll be 36. I mean, these catchers just seem to just have nine lives, right? They just continue to come back. And the reason for that is because they understand what it takes to lead that staff. And I'll continue to harp on that, because that is the most important piece to the catching position for me. I could care less how much a catcher hits. It's a bonus. That's kind of a cliche idea, but I'm really on board with that. I literally could care less what a catcher hits. He's got to lead the staff. He leads half your team. And Omar showed me that this year, and I would sign him back, because you are getting that bonus with the bat. He really did a nice job producing. He did an exceptional job producing early, and he made an all-star team. Fell off a little bit later, probably because of some of the injury stuff, and caught a lot of games this year coming off the COVID year. But I would sign him back. Again, all depends on price tag. I would probably go, 10 in the 10 range. But he might, I don't know what he would get on the open market after 2022. Obviously depends on how he does next year, but I really like Omar. I would consider extending him.
Yeah. And you look at his numbers consistently. I know he had a bad first showing in 2020 for the Brewers, but as I talked about at the beginning of this season, you kind of have to throw some of those numbers out. You take out that year, and he's been really consistent over his big league career. And just added power along the way as well. So offensively, I have no worries about him. And like you talked about, the way he handled the pitching staff this season, I thought was really huge. He made $2.5 million in 2021. He'll probably get close to $6 million in his last year of arbitration. I think if the Brewers could, buy that out and then extend him for another couple of years, you'd probably have to go to around 10 or 12 million a year, I think, just because of how valuable he has been. But I think it could be worth it. I know you got Mario Feliciano on the way, but I mean, who else to better transition Feliciano into the big leagues? It's kind of similar to what the Braves are doing with Travis d'Arnaud. They have a good catching prospect coming up in Shea Langeliers that's going to be ready to take over in a year or two. But they went ahead and signed Travis d'Arnaud for two more years in an option year after that, knowing that he could be the backup catcher at the end of that deal, but he's going to help Langeliers come along. I think Narvaez could do the same thing, with Feliciano, but I think he's the most likely candidate to get extended this offseason. I think he makes a lot of sense with what he gives you offensively. And as much as he grew behind the plate defensively this year, and like you said, handling the best starting pitching staff in all of baseball. So look for that to get done. I'm booking it now. I think it would be a great decision if they could do that and go ahead and lock him up. That catcher position is so important. You talked about Martin Maldonado. The guy is hitting 150, but he's so important to that Astros team because of what he does behind the plate. And so not only do you get that with Narvaez now, but you get the offense as well, which makes him a very valuable member of this team. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.